We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long in studio. A little after 5:30 this afternoon, we'll have on Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher. His son Cam pitched for LSU's now with the Chicago Cubs. We'll have him on to talk LSU baseball at 5:30, and at 5:20 we'll do our First American Bank OTA segment. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Let's go to James in Covington. James, you're in the huddle with Mike, Bobby, and Charlie.
Hey guys, you know, you had a guy, I want to talk about the Pelicans, but you had a guy mention Liv, and I think you know, it should be noted that the Saudi king has his hand in that, and several, but it was last year or year before last, he was accused of having a reporter killed for speaking against him. Say what you want about Tiger Woods, but that same Saudi king offered Tiger hundreds of millions of dollars.
$750 million, James. Bobby and I were just talking about that. That's what's being talked about, that the Saudis offered Tiger $750 million.
Yeah, I wanted, like, Phil Mickelson got like $500 million, half a billion, and that's like Rory McIlroy. Okay, if I'm coming back and we all won, then I mean, he's gonna, I think at least like Brooks Koepka all give me $150 million. It's like almost a signing bonus to start. Okay, all for one, one for all, well together.
And Tiger shot at this stage of his career.
I mean, but it's still Tiger Woods.
But it's still Tiger Woods, and it's about appearances and peeping eyes. And they do know this. If you don't have a TV contract, you're screwed.
Yeah, when you look at it, James, are you Jimmy, or no, James, are you a casual, like, golf observer? Because I don't watch golf every weekend. You know, some people...
I don't, Bobby. But I was.
Do you watch the majors? Do you watch, like, if it's the Masters?
I watch it. But I don't follow it like I follow boxing or like I follow the Saints. And what I was just going to add is, Mike, you mentioned the line. We talked about the lineman situation, offensive lineman. You know, give Atlanta credit. You said you talked to those Falcons people, Bobby. Give Atlanta credit for this. I really believe if they would have soaked up our defensive line players and our linebackers, we'd have invested more energy in the offensive line through the draft. And so now it's up to Derek Carr to do what Drew did in his Super Bowl year. Because remember the Super Bowl year, we had like three linemen that made the Pro Bowl. But it was really Drew setting the protection. Derek Carr's got to set the protection. Because I don't think our linemen are good enough. He's got to set the protection like Drew did. And finally, as far as the Miami Heat and the draft goes, Pat Riley's been the same size since when he was coaching the Lakers. So they're a very strict, disciplined team. We have enough players on the Pelicans. We just need the guys that's going to have the right mindset, you know, that's on and off the field. So I was looking at a couple of guys. They got a guy from, I told Charlie, he and I were talking about this kid from Connecticut. He's decent.
I'm familiar with the guy
because I know his dad. I don't know his dad like personally, but I've seen him when he was in D.C. His father, Juwan Howard, he coaches his son, and he's like a solid shooter, you know, he's not really athletic just like Juwan was, but he's a business-first kind of guy. He can shoot about 6'8". He could play fairly well. He's ranked between 13th and 16th. It's not the players. It's the mentality. On and off the field is what I'm saying as far as the Pels go. So
and a lot of people in that area, Kaysen Wallace from Kentucky, yeah, the point guard there, is getting a lot of looks and a lot of talk about him. And I know he can shoot. How well he can play defense is going to be the big question mark.
Well, I'm going to throw it a couple.
Kaysen Wallace is a guy, as a point guard, a lot of teams like.
Well, I'm going to throw out a couple of names, James, since you brought up the draft is just around the corner, who would be available at 14th. Grady Dick from the Kansas Jayhawks, 6'8". You know, you're never going to have enough outside shooters or wings with size. He's 6'8", like I said. He shot 41% from threes, and he attempted like six attempts per game. So he's one of the best shooters in this year's draft class. Now, they said he needs to add a little weight. But, no, he has to prove can he hang defensively, because you don't always want to be a liability in that regard. Now, on a different spectrum, look at another player. Look at Taylor Hendricks from Central Florida. He's 6'9". And you look at Grady Dick and Taylor Hendricks, they're only both 19 years of age. But Hendricks is available. I think he will be available maybe at 14. But if he's available at 14, you're talking about a big that's a multi-positional defender. In other words, he plays a lot bigger than he is at 6'9". And we have enough scorers at times. When you look at now, we got to be healthy. When you look at the trio of Zion and Brandon Ingram and C.J. McCollum, then you might want that physical or switchable defender and that vertical pop that comes about when you are switching. And, you know, to block shots and do all that. It's kind of like he could be, even though he's 6'9", a small ball center in spurts in the NBA from a defensive standpoint. Now, what I was reading where, if you look at it, this is almost embarrassing, that he has only made, man, talking about bricks, what is it, like 39.4% from the free throw line. That sounds like, even that sounds worse than Shaq. here's a guy that is a multiple, front defender, positional, multi-positional defender, even though he's 6'9". So that's just a couple of names, James, but it's around the corner. But I got a question for you. What about, because I think we embraced him. I think I still have the T-shirt, CP3, but with Chris Paul coming off the bench. Now, money might play a factor, but were you a Chris Paul fan, or do you think that he needs to go somewhere else because he's 38 or whatever?
And he's connected to Willie Green.
Yeah.
No, I think he would be an asset, but particularly if he can get Zion to
play
healthy and play and not just I can't play, but physically healthy, like look lean and mean, and play the pick and roll, because you can have a version of Karl Malone Stockton pick and roll between him and Zion. I mean, CP3 is just that talented, but you can't expect him to play the whole season.
So no.
Does that mean you're going to get rid of McCollum, I actually like Daniels, you know, but I mean, he's not ready to take the lead. That young guard from last season is the type of defensive player.
I like him a lot, James. I think he's a hell of a defender, and he's a much better shooter than I thought he would coming into the league. Thanks so much for the call, James. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 and our First American Bank OTA session right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dottie along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And it's our WWL coverage of OTAs and is brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. But one of the things we saw throughout the entire times we were there to watch the OTAs, Derek Carr, Jameis Winston, both of them really targeting the tight ends downfield, and especially Derek. And we saw it. It didn't matter if it was Foster Moreau, Juwan Johnson, who I think has made great strides in this offseason. We saw that Lucas Kroll, and then Jesse James, who they picked up, a veteran tight end.
He caught a touchdown yesterday.
I think that's going to be a bigger part of this offense in 2023 than it was a year ago or the year before.
Yeah, and you look at it, I don't know, I just like saying that name, Jesse James. I mean, I don't know, maybe because, that, you know, when you're a little kid, how can you not respect, I don't know, you need to be an outlaw in the field, Jesse James. But my God, it's not his first rodeo. I want to say, what does he play, like the 9 years?
He came
years?
In 2015.
Oh, okay.
And he started 63 games in the NFL.
Yeah, so, you know, he knows the ropes and what he has to do. But you mentioned Lucas Kroll. Now, Mike, all of a sudden, the first practice that the media got to witness, you know, we went like Tuesday. Four of that, Mike, was it four or five? Four, okay, probably actually, yeah. But four catches, he was like the highlight of that. And then the next practice, I would say it was Rashid Shaheen, where he had those handful of catches. And then I would say this last practice, like Tre'Quan Smith, maybe. He had at least three or four, it seemed like, and it was touchdowns in the red zone. So, no, that catches your attention as a media member when you look at it, who's making plays. And then if you don't catch it and you drop it,
A.T. Perry is.
Yeah, then that gets
I hope that changes. But he did have a reputation, especially early in a game, for a drop. And that just was part of his makeup. And sometimes it's hard to get a guy, maybe it's nerves, maybe he just got to get that drop out of his system or whatever. But you can't do that in the NFL.
Well, the thing is, it's not like Mike, I don't say they were drops. They were just not making contested catches. And, you know, you don't need it to be a 50-50 ball. It has to be 80% in your favor, and it hasn't been in his favor. Now, some media member told me, and they go, Bobby, maybe he might be off to a slow start like Marcus Colston. You remember when Marcus
wasn't in good shape.
No, he wasn't in good shape.
He looked heavy like when as a rookie.
He was heavy in a mini camp. And in the offseason, then, Mike, when he came in August,
he was different.
He was ready to roll. So maybe someone get his attention and just tell him, say, look, AT. I don't know if they call him AT. Well, what does AT stand for? It's A period, T period. I don't know, Alexander or whatever. Or just say Perry. But it's AT Perry. I don't even know. We have to find that out.
But you're right. Early looks, Malik looks like the draft choice. Perry looks like the undrafted
The rookie
free agent.
Out of Montana, Malik Flowers, 6'2", 205, he looks the part. Everything hits his hands, he catches. And he can run.
He's got some speed. We did see it as we talked with John about that they ran him on the jet sweep. We have some audio from Jesse James, the veteran tight end the Saints just picked up. Charlie, I'll throw it to you.
How did this all come together with you signing with the Saints?
I just came in, worked out, and got signed. Like I said, I knew Clancy from my days in Chicago, so having a working relationship with him definitely helps. This is the first time I've been signed before camp in a couple of years, so it's been good.
What have been your early impressions of the offense?
I like it. I like the style. They've been here for a while. The offense has been here for a long time, so they have different nuances, and just learn it day by day and take it as it goes.
How would you say the way your career has gone so far has affected or influenced your outlook on this whole pro football thing, and what are you hoping for, you know, as it goes?
My outlook, still love the game, still have more left in me to give, so excited where I'm at going into year 9. Just take it one day at a time and enjoy it while it lasts.
Was that you catching that like a back shoulder seam later in red zone? Yeah. Just to kind of talk about that play. I think it was Jameis that threw it to you, right?
Yeah. Just worked the linebacker over the middle of the field and just he put it in there good. So just a simple play makes it easy whenever he has the space to throw it in the back shoulder.
Jesse, is this position unique in any way with regards to the other tight ends on the team? I mean, compared to other teams you've been on with, you know, Juwan and Foster as part of this tight end room?
It's hard to tell this early exactly how the roles play out and things go. But excited to work with these guys. They're a great group. A lot of talent in the room, so it's going to be a fun year for us.
Is it also cool to know that there's a lot of new faces, so it's not like you're brand new because there's a new quarterback, new running back, new tight ends that are brought in?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, last year I signed in September. The year before that I signed the first day of camp. So having this extra couple weeks is going to be good for me to just kind of train what I'm training for in the offseason. Is going to be easier for me.
That was Saints' new tight end, Jesse James, veteran in the league, and you can tell. It's not his first rodeo. He gets it. He understands. He wants to keep this NFL career going. So Bobby, Mike, you put it best. The real world sucks.
Yeah, no, you play in the NFL as long as you can. Look, he's 29 years of age, is going into his ninth year out of Penn State. Mike, do you remember him at Penn State?
Yep, sure did.
Has he gotten bigger? He's always been.
He's always been this big, tall drink of water. Yeah, he's gotten a little heavier.
He's 6'7". They got him at 260, basically.
And he broke Ted Kwolek's records for receptions and tight ends at Penn State.
Ted Kwolek. Well, that's
man,
a name
you go
the
back
past.
in the late 60s for Ted Kwolek, and he played with the 49ers. But they got the Kwolek Award for the top tight end in the Big Ten because of him.
Yeah, Mike, looking at Jesse James at 6'7", that always catches your attention. You know what's unbelievable? And you might think, because you're always looking for that next player to be like that. You know, like a basketball player who could play football. You look with the Chargers.
Antonio Gates.
Okay, Antonio Gates, how he did. And then even a taller version right there. And then look, Jimmy Graham. People are looking like for the next Jimmy Graham. I haven't witnessed that, because Jimmy Graham was, you never worried about him, a pass receiving tight end, not as a blocker. So you look at, we thought maybe Kobe Fleener was going to be that guy, but that never worked out.
Came with the surfboard and left with the surfboard.
Yeah, that's why Jesse James at 6'7", could he maybe develop? Or he already would have developed?
I think already would, but where I think he can help you red zone, where everything's condensed and you get this big 6'7" guy.
Well, he caught that 9-yard back shoulder touchdown in the red zone in practice from Jameis Winston.
That's our WWL coverage of OTAs, and it's brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. When we come back, we'll have on with us Scotty Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher, his son Cam now with the Chicago Cubs, and we'll be right back talking about LSU baseball right after this break on the Big 870. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Bob, we're trying to get Scott Sanders on with us, but you have a text to read.
Yeah, I got a text right here because, you know, it is the Triple Crown last race, the Belmont, you know, mile and a half. 6818 says, Bobby, Mike, will you have a guest on your show to talk about the Belmont Stakes up in New York? Yes, we will. I think we're having it at the 7:20 hour tomorrow. So can I three-peat? And what I mean by that, I picked the Kentucky Derby and I picked the Preakness. I don't know. Can I be lucky again? But I'm looking at this.
You'd rather be lucky than good sometimes.
Right? So I'm looking at there's only 9 horses. Forte, you know, is 5-2. Mike, he's back in there. You know, he had to scratch the day of the Kentucky Derby, so he's going to be running in this race. Then you look at Tappet Trice. He's like 3-1. But you know who I think this mile and a half could come through? I'm kind of going with Angel of Empire.
It's built for him.
So right now,
distance.
Angel of Empire, now 7-2.
Getting a lot of cash back.
It's not, and even like National Treasure, who won the Preakness, he's at 5-1. But Angel of Empire, it's not like a Mage when he turned from 15-1 to 17-1 to come out on top. But Mike, you know, you always look at like famous trainers, not only jockeys and horses, but Todd Pletcher, you look at him, he has a couple of horses in this field that like Tapit Trice, I said is the second choice after when you look at when you basically looking at Forte, but then Angel of Empire, that's also his horse.
We got Scott Sanders on the line. So, Scott, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Scott, right off the bat, there was so much talk last Friday when the announcement came that Skeens would be pitching against Tulane. And listen, nobody knows his team better than the manager or the pitching coach and Skeens himself. You being a former major league pitcher, It worked out right. It worked out perfect at that particular point. But there was so much talk about it. Your thoughts on how Jay was able to work his pitching staff, and it really came through big for him.
Yeah, it did. You know, the funny thing was, you know, everybody, when they kind of rolled him out, it was kind of weird because everybody's like, whoa, what's going on? You know, but obviously Jay did his homework with the weather. And the one thing you don't want to do is throw Paul Skeens out there for two innings like what happened to Ty Floyd. And then, you know, next thing you know, or you bump him this Sunday and then he gets bumped the Monday. So, you know, everything worked out. And sometimes you trust your gut, and a lot of times your gut's the right thing to trust.
Now, Scott, educate me here because I don't know if I've ever witnessed this. You know, you look at Nolan Ryan and who's throwing 100 miles an hour. Obviously, that catches a lot of people's attention. But with Paul Skeens, have you witnessed, or you can probably say, oh, yeah, Bobby, that happens more often than you think. But, like, whether it's your first pitch or your first handful of pitches or you're throwing 120 pitches, you're still able to hit, like, basically 100 miles an hour. Because it seems like you'd wear down some and you're not throwing that hard. Explain that to me.
Yeah, no, it's funny, you know, because honestly, you don't very rarely see someone 21 years old that throws 98 to 101 and can really control it. Now, you see guys that throw that hard and they're always at this age a little wild, you know. So what he's doing is really, really incredible because the one thing he has for him, obviously, he's a big, strong hit, 6'5", 245, 250, whatever you want to call it. He's literally a defensive end on the mound, you know. And you know, so he's the type, you know, those big guys, they just some – I mean, he's in shape. You know, obviously, they have big guys who are out of shape who tire quick, but – he's a guy that I see at times, you know, he just gets stronger sometimes as the game goes on. And obviously, he obviously always pitches with a lot of confidence, and that's one thing I love about him. You know, I mean, he knows when he walks on that field that he is the best player, you know, in the arena, and he goes out and tries to prove it every night. But it's just his size, strength, and it repeats his mechanics really well for as big as he is. And that's another thing. You know, most guys that are that big, that strong, it's really hard for them to repeat their mechanics because – they're not always the most athletic, right? You know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, but he's just big, strong, athletic, and he's just, I call him, he's a dog. You know what I mean? When he gets on that mound, he's a dog, and man, he's coming to take your lunches, what he's coming to do every time he gets out there.
Scott, this catcher position, you know, if you got the team bus loaded and you ask, okay, who wants to play catcher? They're going to unload that. They ain't going to be nobody. And they might be one, but basically you unload the bus on it. The strides trading Hayden Travinsky has made as a catcher, as a defender. I mean, he's eons better than he was a year ago. But, you know, everybody talks about the bat, and he is as hot a hitter right now as anybody in college baseball. But the strides he's made as a catcher defensively, I think that's what sort of has jumped out at me throughout the year.
Well, is it because he's healthy, Scott, or what?
It's a combination of a few things. Number one, he's healthy, you know, which he hadn't been very often in his career. I don't think he's ever had a healthy fall ever in his years at LSU. Number two, he's obviously have a lot of confidence with his bat, right? So sometimes the bat can carry over. When you're not hitting, and you try to catch, sometimes that can crosses over and it doesn't, you know, you just thought about you struck out with the bases loaded, you know, you struck out six out of the last seven times. So you kind of lose a little bit of, you know, a little bit of focus, right? And next, you know, there's a ball to the backstop. But when you're locked in like he is, you know, he's number one, he's getting chance to catch often, you know, back to back to back games, which he has never done in his career. You know, he would literally maybe, before this year, I've seen him catch, you know, a handful of games, but it's like one a week, you know. So when you play one a week, you can work all you want in a bullpen, try to get better defensively, but until you get into the line of fire, that's how it, you know, you really get better. And it just comes with reps, but I think a lot of it has to do with confidence. I mean, he really feels good about himself right now. I'm so excited for that kid because he's worked his tail off, you know, here for 4 years, and it's showing.
Now, Scott, how does this come into play? Because, you know, like even in football, whatever, you might play a team a couple of times in a season. But you look, they're familiar with one another. LSU won two or three against Kentucky and Baton Rouge in April. You know, they've had Kentucky's number because you think LSU baseball, they've had 57 wins, 32 losses. So basically, but does that come into play considering that LSU 10-run ruled them? And then you look, Kentucky didn't pout or get discouraged. They won the second game. And then it was a 7-6 type game in game three. So I think Kentucky's coming into Baton Rouge say, we can beat the Tigers.
Yeah, I definitely think they will. They're going to come here knowing that they can compete, right? Obviously, the key is going to be none of these kids have ever been in a super regional, right? They have played in the box, which helps, right? But playing in the box in April is different than playing in the box in a super regional. You know what I mean? It's a lot more pressure, a lot more, you know, the spotlight's on everybody. But, you know, the one thing that I'm really interested to see, if Kentucky's, if they're going to throw an ace on Friday or if they're going to pitch off on Friday and say, hey, we'll give them the first one and then we'll come back with our two best chances to win, you know, on Saturday, you know, against Skeens. Right. Maybe pitch off on Saturday against Skeens and say, we're going to keep our two best for Sunday and Monday. That's what is going to intrigue me to see how they do it. Because obviously, the one thing about college baseball, a lot of times you only face a team once in a year. Well, Skeens has faced twice is Arkansas. Second time against Arkansas, you remember what they did? They chased him in like 3 1/3 innings, right? So these guys are going to get into the box knowing what he has, facing him already. So that is going to be a little advantage that they have against Skeens. But I still like his chances, you know, with his arsenal of pitches.
Scott, throwing it to another matter now, man. I know you got to be proud of the Colonels and what Mike Silva has done for Nicholls State baseball. Man, 2 years, get this team into the big dance. And they gave Alabama everything they wanted. But your evaluation, being a former major league pitcher of Jacob Mars, it was a kid a year ago. He had no offers on the table. He got recommended to Mike, and they bring him from Santa Ma. And he was unbelievable for the Colonels. He wins the Collegiate News Freshman of the Year as a pitcher. Your thoughts on Myers as a pitcher? And he's shows some erraticism from time to time. But, man, the big guy can hum it. I mean, he is really impressive as a pitcher. And I think a year ago, man, nobody would have said Jacob Myers would be at this level. No one.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, the story I've heard, obviously, Jody Amade is a good friend of mine. He's the one that actually called Mike Silva and says, hey, Mike, you got to come see this kid, right? He's a perfect person for, like, Nicholls, right? Tall frame, really good arm, got a really good – he's got a fastball like Ty Floyd, right? It really carries through the zone, got a high spin rate, right? So guys swing under it, a lot of swing and misses. But, you know, what he went out and did this year, you know, he got cut, I think, as a sophomore from his high school team.
Sure
didn't
did.
Quit. Went out and played summer ball, got better, you know, and basically pitched Santa Monica to the state championship and didn't end up losing. They lost in the championship. But and like you said, nobody won him, not even junior colleges, not even any high schools, Division II, Division III. And he's got the fastball, you know, and he can get erratic, but it was kind of what I was telling you earlier about Skeens. You know, Skeens has that body control. Sometimes Jacob he gets out of his mechanics, you know, and his breaking ball is really good at times, and when he doesn't command it, he throws fastballs. But I'll be honest, he throws 85% fastballs, and you see what he did this year. But when I read that news today, I had the biggest smile on my face because what Mike's done there with the Colonels has been amazing. He's turned that program around, and he's got those kids playing hard. You know, they show up to the park, they play hard, and I'll be honest, I thought they had Alabama right where they want them, and man, they needed a couple more outs and one more run. But I was so proud of those guys, and they had a heck of a season.
Now, you know, Scott, were you surprised? Because, you know, we love Southeastern Conference baseball, but Two of the four national seeds from the SEC, Arkansas and Vanderbilt, got eliminated. Boy, is that – talk about underachieving. Now you look at TCU, how hot they are. I mean, they waxed Arkansas. But I think that could be a dark horse considering where TCU is at and how hot they are. But were you surprised that Arkansas and Vanderbilt not moving on?
I was very shocked, to be honest. You know, I saw they kind of lost, and I was like, ah, it's going to be okay. They're going to come back to the loser's bracket. And, you know, and they didn't. And that's the one thing about, you know, when you get into double elimination tournaments, the pressure becomes so much bigger, right? So this weekend at the box is basically another double elimination tournament, but it's only two teams, you know? And so right. That's what I was saying earlier about Kentucky. The pressure, you know, there's, you know, a Saturday, Sunday's guaranteed, but Monday's never not guaranteed. You know what I mean? So you can, sometimes you lose Saturday, you're going out Sunday, you're literally playing for your season. You know what I mean? So guess what? I'm going to be a little tighter. I'm going to try to, you know, I'm going to try to do a little bit more. And that's when teams get in trouble. But Vanderbilt was really surprising. Arkansas kind of surprised me. You know, I think they had some, they finished strong, and that's what kind of surprised the most is they did play good towards the end. But I tell you, the team to watch, in my opinion, is Florida. You know, nobody's really talking about them, but they got the pitching, they got solid hitting, you know what I mean? And, you know, I think, you know, it's not going to be easy, but, you know, they went into a Monday game and, you know, almost out of pitching and threw a shutout, you know what I mean? So they have a deep staff, but it's going to be interesting. But still, man, I watched Wake Forest last weekend, and they are all that they advertise. So,
yeah, that's, you know, what I was going to ask you, Scott. Wake Forest proved worthy of the number one seed, Tom Walters, the Demon Deacons.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at now you have to look at the opponent, but they outscored their first three opponents 48-7. They were batting as a team 376, 503 on-base percentage. And they allowed 4.7 hits per nine innings. They struck out 50. So it looks like that, boy, and I hope I never cheer for Alabama, but now Alabama's truly an underdog, you know, going to Wake Forest.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I would love to see, you know, since Alabama won that region, Nichols, and I would love to see him upset Wake Forest, but I don't like their chances. But you never know. Baseball's a really wacky sport. You know, if you show up the right time and pitch and hit and play defense and, you know, get that momentum going your way, sometimes, like I said, in a double elimination, two-team tournament, anything can happen.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, bud. Really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be talking next week about the Tigers, too.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
going right. To Omaha.
Let's go to Omaha.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it, buddy. That was Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher. We didn't get a chance to talk to him about his son, Cam, who's still pitching in the minors and AAA ball for the Cubs. But Scott feels as though he's just a step away from pitching in the majors. We'll be back to finish it up here on the 5 o'clock hour on Sports Talk right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long in studio. And so, Charlie, I'm going to ask you, do the Nuggets pull it off tonight? I think, man, they got embarrassed the way it happened in Denver, and they got put on the spot. Hey, listen, this is the finals. This ain't no preseason game, and I think some reality hit them straight in the face.
I lean Denver in this one because, as you're kind of saying, reality hit them in the face. Now they're in a dogfight with Miami. Miami has taken home court from them, but I lean Denver taking the lead here. Miami may get game four and kind of tie it up going back to Denver, but all they need to do is get one of these two, and I think they take game three.
Bob, Nuggets in the Heat.
Well, when you think about it, because, I like stats, like numbers. When I read this, Wednesday's winner, tonight's winner, is obviously going to have the upper hand because I look at their percentages. With a 2-1 series lead in the history of the NBA, when the finals is tied 1-1, the game three winner has gone on to eventually claim the title 80% of the time. It doesn't matter where you're playing. You know, who's the home team, who's away. If it's 1-1 and you win game three, you win 80% of the time. 32 times in the past, the ratio is like in the past 40 instances when it was 1-1, 32 out of the 40 end up winning when they won game three.
I think one of the game plans you're going to see tonight is just what happened in game two. Okay, Joker scored 41 points, but you got to get some help. And well, yeah, I think Malone was calling out Porter because of that. Come on, you just can't sit and pout if you miss a couple shots.
Well, I would say right now, if Joker has a triple-double, they got a great chance to win. But they could say, so what if Joker scores 40 points? When he scored 40 or more, they're 0-3.
Yep.
So he needs to have double-digit assists instead of only four.
We'll be back with more Sports Talk. Jeff Nowak will take over right after this news break on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.